You have a dog?
Do I have a dog?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say. What? Nature abhors a vacuum. I think that was Newton. Nature abhors a vacuum. But so does my dog. Yeah, I have a dog.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, July 1st. Happy Canada Day. Happy birthday to my wife, Nora, and happy Bobby Bonilla Day. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Cass Ellis.
And happy birthday to Darren Revelle. Now, happy birthday to Canada and to Nora and to Bobby Bonilla Day. I'm sick of hearing about that, but happy birthday to Bobby Bonilla.
Awesome, awesome. We also got my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! The international man of mystery, taking it to New York, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee Lee. And finally, the man, the myth, the legend, making the magic happen, is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Hey, JD, I know we're live right now, but I just want to tell you there's been an issue with my audio recording device here. So, yeah, I mean, no turning around now. It just said it's like low disc or something. I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
very
my God.
Strange.
But get that disc in there, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, shout out to the stream team for joining us live here on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments, and subscribe. Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. We hit the beach yesterday. Many larfs were had. We discussed which players could benefit from a change of scenery this summer. Talked about some of our favorite players to like go on an amazing like 2 to 3 year stretch or run, but then sort of fall off. Talked crazy NBA stats, stoner snacks, hard seltzers, pianos, Lee's buddy that vomits all the time. Again, it's a very fun Beach Steppin' episode, so go check that out. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. New shirt alert! Yeah, new shirt alert! No Dunks. Ooh. Phoenix Suns mashup now available for sale. The Photoshop boys meet the Valley boys. Available in t-shirt form and youth sizes and hoodies. So go over to nodunks.com, especially if you're a Suns fan, to get your hands on that sweet-looking shirt. TK, you were a big fan of this one.
Oh, man. I don't know. It feels like every shirt we come out with is our best shirt. This one is up there for me. I feel like we've been talking about the Valley jerseys since before the season started. Now the Suns are going to the finals. They've obviously been wearing them a lot playing at home. So I'm loving this. A little orange on there, a little purple. Oh, it's kind of like going from the starters to No Dunks, orange to purple.
Oh,
classic. I love it.
Go over to nodunks.com. Grab yourself one of those bad boys. Okay, let's get into the game. You said it there. Chris Paul leading the Suns past the Clips, 130-103. Headed to his first NBA Finals and the first Finals for the Suns, Tass, in a long, long time. What'd you think of the game?
This is simple for me. That was cool. I thought that second half, Chris Paul, the way he did it was super duper cool. The first half, you know, he wasn't spectacular. He had 10 points in the first half. But when he checked in late in the third quarter, 1:43 left, it was clear he was going to take over. He took all the shots at the end of the third quarter for the Suns in their half court sets, banged them all home. And then in the fourth quarter, just hitting shot after shot after shot, 19 points in the fourth quarter. He ended this series like he ended the Nuggets series with a bang. 31 points in the second half, the most he's ever had in any half of NBA basketball. That's pretty freaking neat to go into your NBA Finals appearance, your first NBA Finals appearance like that. 41, 8 assists, 0 turnovers when all is said and done. That has never been matched in a Western Conference Finals history, any conference finals history. Thanks to Haberstroh for that. 41, 8 assists, 0 turnovers. It's just perfect Chris Paul. That is what he does. He takes care of the basketball. So it's just fitting going into his first finals. He said post-game he never gave up trying to get to his first finals. Then he said, but the big reason he was there in Phoenix was the light-skinned guy right over there, number one, Devin Booker. And it was cool that Book started the series with the 40 spot and Chris Paul ended it with the 40 spot. Mm-hmm. They bookended it. And, you know, you just start thinking about everybody's stories when you know, all the celebrations happened. Obviously, Chris Paul, 16th season, everything he fought through, all the... You know, the takes on him that he's not clutch and he's coming through now. You know, he just needed an incredible sidekick. And here they go. Devin Booker, zero playoff games in his first five seasons. Now he's going to the finals. Jay Crowder, back-to-back finals with different teams with the Heat last year. Real Danny Green situation. Monty Williams, you know, losing his wife, in 2016. And the way he persevered with five children to be here, him and Chris Paul. Their relationship going back to Monty Williams' first job in 10-11 when they were the New Orleans Hornets. What? I forgot about that, that they were called the New Orleans Hornets. Their embrace post-game was something. You know, DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick in the 2018 draft. That guy shot nearly 70% in this series. That's nuts. 18-14 for him. Dario Saric. You know, his journey, he was a Eurostar, but then he was on the Sixers, couldn't figure out where his spot was. Then he went to the Wolves. Is he lost in this league? But we all knew he was a tough-ass dude. Now he's playing for the Suns. Mikal Bridges drafted by the Sixers, just another Sixers shot there. Abdul Nader trying to be the first Egyptian to win an NBA title. Shout out to Al Abdelnaby. Campaign dropped by his last three teams, the Bulls, the Cavs, the Raptors. He went to China. He went to the G League, nearly out of the league. He had a game-high 29 points in game two of the Western Conference Finals. So just all these stories. It's a bunch that, led by Chris Paul, that, you know, maybe you wouldn't like, but also, you know, you love to hate, but you got to love as well. There's lots of stories there. So those are the stories that we're going to be talking about the next week. And, you know, even though it feels like we know everything about these players, there's already stories about Chris Paul playing 2 years of JV that nobody knew about. And so that's the fun part of this next week, just celebrating these dudes.
Yeah, Trey, heading into this game, at the end of yesterday's Daily Show, you were like, Chris Paul's got to play better. He's been sort of bad since he's come back. You know, they won those two games without him. He can't hit a shot. He's got to be instrumental in this game six. Put away this series. Go to your first finals. And he did that. I don't know if he caught the show, but he definitely came through in the clutch there. Like Tass took us through. He was impressive, especially when the Clippers cut it to seven. They hit a couple threes there. It's like, whoa, they're right back in this. You can never count this team out. And then Chris Paul said, no. I'm healthy for the first time in a long time here in a critical game. We're just going to end this. He was amazing down the stretch there. And Cousins was awesome for the Clips in scoring, but my God, were they like, we're just going to pick on the big guy here.
100%. Yeah, Chris Paul was awesome in the second half. And like Tass was saying, it was very capital C cool to see basically him antagonizing Patrick Beverley to go to his first finals in front of the Clippers fans. Very funny to me that he shouted out Billy Crystal after the game. I mean, Billy Crystal, the biggest Clippers fan out there. So that was hilarious. But I also thought Chris Paul, you could tell from the jump that he was going to be playing a little bit differently. In the first half, like Tass said, only 10 points, but he had four assists. And he got DeAndre Ayton going. 10 points, 7 rebounds in the first half for DeAndre Ayton. It felt like Chris Paul was getting into the pick and rolls a little quicker and making it a point to get Ayton the ball inside. Ayton played with a ton of force. That made the Clippers kind of have to play DeMarcus Cousins a little bit with Zubats being out. And once that was the case, Cousins had to be sticking Ayton rolling in the lane, Chris Paul's jumper, it was there. And, you know, he didn't shoot a lot of threes through the first couple of rounds here after he hurt his shoulder against the Lakers. But he built up enough strength from shooting all those mid-rangers to finally start hitting some threes, and you could just tell he was locked in. The coolest of games that Chris Paul has ever had, I think you would have to say, sending the Suns into the finals, wearing the orange jerseys. That's on the list for a jersey that's going to stick around in NBA history, even if it's not a classic jersey. So, yeah, special stuff from Chris Paul to raise the level of the Suns and to basically say, we're not losing this one. We're not going back to Phoenix and having to win it in seven here. So caps off to Chris Paul. And that was a giant hat that man had on celebrating his finals appearance. That is the biggest hat I've ever seen. It was like almost like one of those Russian hats, but it had a bill on it as well. He deserved it. He could have worn it over like our headphones that we have on right now.
Leigh, what did you think of the game and Chris Paul going to his first finals here?
Well, you know, the Clippers weren't going to give up, but as Ty Lue sort of said afterwards, he felt that even in that first half, they showed a few mental errors that sort of lead you to believe that all these this incredible playoff run they've gone on did sort of start to catch up with them, and they needed another huge effort if they were going to get back into this one. But Chris Paul just was not going to let that happen. It was like, you know what, I am closing this series out here tonight. I'm not taking any chances. He hadn't been good in this series up until that point. But then he was like, there's just no way I want to give the Clippers any more life and any more chance in this series. And I think you could just start to see it. The Clippers were just like, man, we've done a lot. We've accomplished a lot coming yeah. down back from a lot in all three series here. We've kind of been written off. We haven't had a chance to sort of just to get a little rest in at any point. And it was, you know, it was going to be a factor at some point. And, you know, when they, as the lead sort of piled up there to 15, then 18, and then 20 points, you could just sort of sense that they were like, it's not going to happen tonight. So, you know, I like the Suns deserve all the credit this morning, especially Chris Paul. But honestly, the Clippers have really, I think, improved their reputation as well. Because where the playoffs started when they dropped those first two games at home to the Mavericks, and it was like, man, what a joke this franchise is and these players are. To get to this point where, you know, they forced a game six. I mean, they could have given up in game five, but they didn't. And again, without Kawhi Leonard there, I think was so impressive. So I think Ty Lue's done a great job. Paul George did a great job. You know, younger players like Terrence Mann, he had some performances throughout the playoffs that were great. But it was just one too many mountains to climb last night. And credit to the Suns. They deserved it. They've been fantastic, these entire playoffs. And when you think about what happened in game one of their playoffs against the Lakers, you know, we wondered maybe Chris Paul might have, you know, done some other injury and the Suns might not have even got out of that first round, but he did. So I think, you know, even if you're a Chris Paul hater, and there are still some out there, that's fine.
He doesn't make it easy sometimes when he does the old classic flop like he did last night with Cousins.
But if you're a basketball fan, you have to respect that, you know, what this guy has given to the game over his years. I mean, and at 36 to be doing what he's doing, you know, playing at this level is an incredible effort, an incredible feat. You know, he's bounced around a couple of teams. He's been a superstar. And then it's kind of been like, you know, he had a year in Oklahoma City, which we will like, you know, they made the playoffs. They took the Rockets to seven games there. But it's like Chris Paul, Oklahoma City, that's where his sort of career has taken him. Now he finally gets a chance to make it to the NBA Finals where the Suns go in as favorite. I definitely think no matter who they play.
They have home court advantage regardless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've got at least a week off here. These other teams have got to play a minimum two more games. And both of those teams have got their superstar banged up. So yep. I'm really happy for Chris Paul. I just think he finally got to where he deserves to go. And it didn't collapse for him as it has done in the past where he's led 3-1 or he's blown things at the end of games. Instead, Chris Paul, it went in his way and he took control of that game. Mm. So I think it was great to see.
What did you think, Lele, of when things did get a little trippy there? And I guess it was going into a timeout with about 6 minutes to go. I still don't know if Chris Paul said anything. I think he just stared at Patrick Beverley. Now, these two have a long history of getting into it with each other, and they're both sort of hotheads and all that. But, you know, Beverly's pissed off and just shoves Chris Paul in the back. And down he goes, which maybe that wasn't fair. You know, a decent shove, but down goes Chris Paul, and he gets tossed. But I know you are always pointing out sometimes your frustration with a guy like Patrick Beverley. But what did you think of that one?
Like that he deserved to be ejected. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, like, because there's nothing in that play that, like, Chris Paul, I looked at it. I don't think he said anything.
I don't think
he
so,
He gave him a little smirk and a little, like, you know.
It's sometimes worse, basically. Isn't it, saying nothing?
Yeah, but the way that Beverley reacted was a complete Bush League play. You know, shoving a guy from behind full force like that as well. There's no I don't know what took him so long to eject him. Just get the fuck out. You're an idiot. Get out of here. There's no room for that in basketball. You know,
he should get suspended, no? I think you should get suspended for next season.
He might.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
at least to start this season.
I was thinking like a game or two, but the fact that their season ended, maybe that just sort of gives it. I mean, Andrew Bynum got seven games, I think, didn't he, for that thing on JJ Barrera. So maybe he gets a game or two there. But the thing with Patrick Beverley is he has had some good moments in the playoffs here for the Clippers against the Suns.
Yeah.
He did. You know, he was good against Devin Booker, but then he just does these brainless, unnecessary, stupid things, which makes it very hard to sort of respect him because he's crossed the line there. You know, you just don't do that. You don't do that in a timeout when you're losing, you know, to this other star player like that. That's just it's a punk move, and he deserves to be punished for it more so than just getting ejected. So we'll see. Yeah. It just leaves such a bad taste in your mouth because this guy does have things that he can do to impact a game. But he does that. No one respects that. Nobody respects a player who does that on the court. So I'm glad he got tossed. And yeah, I hope he does get suspended for a game or two.
Yeah, what did Jay Crowder said after the game? Said, like, we knew we broke them there. Yeah. I mean, they did. Yeah, they were clearly frustrated and it was over. And Chris Paul had been doing his Chris Paul things, getting under their skin and obviously hitting shot after shot in their face. So you could see why you'd be frustrated. Not, I'm not saying, you know, he shouldn't be suspended a game or two or whatever it is. Cause yeah, it was a joke. I mean, that's also the classic Beverly plays up the tough guy, but then he's going to push the guy in the back while he's walking away. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you think of that, TK? Just quickly, of Beverly going crazy, throwing his, take his jersey off Rodman style. I did like that at least.
yeah, I guess he took his jersey off. Yeah. He deserved to get ejected. Yeah. I don't know. It was a long time coming. Exactly what Jay Crowder said. We knew we broke him. That's a great feeling. And many teams have had that feeling against Patrick Beverley. It seems like that's the way he goes out of the playoffs, doing something that makes him look like a fool. So not a surprise. Chris Paul, one of the few guys who can be so irritating to get under Patrick Beverley's skin. That's pretty crazy. And, you know, Chris Paul will make you root against Patrick Beverley. Also impressive. but yeah. Weak sauce, as they're saying in the stream team. The sauce, it was bad.
McMenamin, I saw writing, Chris Paul was the most accomplished player in NBA history to have never appeared on a final stage. Now he's going, so that's obviously well-earned, and that is now not his title to bear. He had the most all-star appearances, most all-NBA selections, started the most playoff games, scored the most career points of anyone without a finals appearance. So I asked on Twitter this morning, like, who takes that title now? Who's the best player? I was thinking currently, but you can go all time if you want. Does anybody pop into your head, Tass? Who now takes that title away from Chris Paul? Best player to never make a finals. There were a lot of people saying Steve Nash. You know, Hollinger even was like, well, what about Giannis, right? Still currently as the one of the greatest players ever to never make one. Anyone else that comes to mind, Tass?
That's solid. I don't know. I didn't read the replies to your tweets. Any good ones out there? I mean, I would obviously.
Carmelo Anthony, people were saying just the longevity of his career and not
well,
getting there.
Yeah, Lillard, I think as well. He's probably getting to that point as well. I mean, how many All Star games for Lillard? Seven or eight?
Yeah, I was like, I said to Hollinger, I was like, I understand. Like, Giannis is a great call. I mean, he's a 2-time MVP for crying out loud and has a lot of accolades already. But I was like, I think people aren't saying him because he's only played like. What, 8 seasons?
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's still got time.
Yeah, it just feels like still young in his career. And maybe because he's 2 games away from possibly going to the finals anyway. Yeah. But yeah, Melo, like I think there was a couple George Gervins out there. McGrady?
Gervins.
Tracy McGrady.
Well, McGrady technically made it, but not really. But not really.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was a fun little Twitter back and forth with a couple people out there throwing it out. Consensus seemed to be like all time. There were a lot of people who were saying Nash. For sure, and I think that's again just because he's got 2 MVPs and stuff like that. But anyone else, Trey, that we're forgetting?
I can't believe it, but the one name that popped into my head instantly, Mark Price.
Fascinating.
I know that's not the right answer, but for some reason I was thinking Mark Price. But I think Steve Nash is probably the right call.
I guess Chris Webber, you know, would be on the list. People are saying the Joker, Jokic here, if you're going current day player and you're putting him in this sort of like, Lillard, Giannis category. Sure.
This is Chris Paul making it at 30.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't put guys in their 20s.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Slow the flow a little bit. Giannis
I got
still
Zion.
A young buck.
I got Zion. I haven't made it yet.
Luka for sure. Yeah. Relax.
Anyway, so we're very, very happy for Chris Paul getting there, and we'll see if they can win 4 more. I keep thinking back, and I know he wasn't on the team, but like how just perfect it was that the Suns got invited to the bubble. like go back to last year. Like, remember were they 6 games back from making even the playoffs, of course, or the play-in game there in the bubble. And they're still invited because, you know, we got to have some teams there and they're technically still in it. And then they go 8-0, but they talked about, like, even in this season, like, wow, how important that was. You know, those were do or die games and they just strung 8 together and Booker the game winner. And like, it actually had some impact. And then of course you had Chris Paul, but it's just wild to think like no one would have cared whether or not they were invited, Trey. Like, nobody. We wouldn't have been like, what? How are the Suns not there? But, you know.
Yeah, we were like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. They're taking 22 teams at this point.
Crazy.
We're less than a year removed from Draymond Green saying that Devin Booker needs to get out of Phoenix because he doesn't have enough help.
Right.
Whoops.
Right.
Not a great call there by Draymond Green. Turns out bringing in a Hall of Famer helped them. But, man, super impressive stuff. And super impressive Jay Crowder showed up, hit some threes last night. The guys that they brought in as veterans to add to the 8-0 bubble team showed up exactly when they needed to.
Yeah, I mean, things went. I do think the Clippers ran out of gas. And you said it too, Lee. Like, you've been saying it sort of throughout the series. That was their 15th game in 29 days. That's a hell of a lot. Okay, let me ask you this, though. Test. Do the Clippers win the series if Kawhi Leonard plays?
Maybe. They have a great shot. It's their best player. So, yeah, it's quite possible. I'm not going down the path of, you know, the Suns missed guys, missed the best players on the other team that they faced through the playoffs. Can't do it. Won't do it. I watched the Raptors win a championship against, you know, a Kevin Durantless and Clayless Warriors team. In the end, best team wins. That's it. Obviously, the Clippers were better with Kawhi Leonard, and they're better with Kawhi Leonard up in a suite instead of him joining them on the bench like he did yesterday.
Yeah,
get him out of there. Yeah, he finally joined the bench for Game 6. Yeah, Paul George ran out of gas. I don't think there's any doubt. He played by far the most minutes in the playoffs, and he had so much on his back. And yeah, throughout the roster, I mean, they were broken by Game 2 a little bit as well. I mean, they continued to fight back after that DeAndre Ayton alley-oop on their head. They were very, very, very impressive. But, you know, the Suns didn't fight in Game 5 when they were up 3-1. They had never been in a situation like that. I'm sure a lot of their guys, I know they haven't been in a lot of situations, but they're up 3-1. Looks like they're rolling to the finals, and they gave away that first half in Game 5 where, you know, they're allowing Marcus Morris to get the matchup he wanted against Devin Booker. And then you see how they turned around in Game 6. We're gonna play how we want to play. We want to dictate. Mm-hmm. So how about Jay Crowder on Marcus Morris instead of Devin Booker? That's a good idea. Have a defensive player, and he got physical with him, and he slowed their flow. And Chris Paul getting them into their sets a little bit more. So, yeah, we can play the what-if game with Kawhi. That's definitely a reason for the Clippers to think back on this series and think what-if. But they gave it absolutely everything they had, and they were the second best team in this series. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You got to come through in those little clutch, crunch time moments. And it didn't happen in Game 2. And that's, you know, always one of those hinge moments you look back at.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, man, maybe if DeMarcus Cousins moves 1 foot to his right, maybe Jay Crowder can't make that perfect pass. Maybe this is a different series.
Yeah. I mean, Jay here in the stream team, injuries are part of every postseason, true. Are they worth noting? Sure, but it's not an asterisk. And yeah, the Suns have benefited from some unfortunate injuries to other key players in every series, right, Lee? I mean, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm just noting that Anthony Davis, of course, banged up in the first series. No Jamal Murray at all for the Nuggets, their second best player by a mile in the second series. And then, no Kawhi Leonard at all, their best player. I think they do win the series if Kawhi Leonard plays, but again, that's just because we know how dominant Kawhi is, and I think it's still a great series. I still think it's a hard-fought series, but I think the Clippers would ultimately win. I mean, they are missing their best player, but then again, Chris Paul didn't play the first two, and the Suns pulled it out, so those were instrumental. But
yeah, and last year on a pod, I think I went through the last 20 years of putting an asterisk on every championship.
That's right.
And you know, you can continue to do that. I think Doc Rivers said if Kendrick Perkins doesn't get injured in 2010, I think he thinks the Celtics go on to win that championship.
Sure.
Because his best five never lost a playoff series. So yeah, it's unfortunately it is just a part of the game that sometimes these things happen. I mean, go back to 1988, Isaiah Thomas. When he rolled his ankle, they were going to win that championship in 6 games, lose in 7 because of that ankle injury. He could barely play there in Game 7. So throughout the entire history of the NBA, there's been instances of when, you know, a team has had a significant injury to a player and it has potentially tilted the finals or the deciding series one way or the other. That's just the way it goes. And ultimately, you talk about it in the time, but then you do just sort of look back and say, well, yeah, look, the Raptors won the championship when Kevin Durant came back, and remember, he blew out his Achilles, and Klay Thompson injured his knee in Game 6 as well. So there's always sort of a way you can sort of point to an injury at some point that may or may not have impacted a series. But the Suns, you know, if Kawhi plays, maybe the Clippers win, maybe they don't. The Suns have been very good all season long. You know, they've been good at both ends of the floor. So maybe it is a tighter series, perhaps, although it was actually a fairly tight series still. So who knows? You can certainly have that conversation all day long, but it doesn't matter because the Suns win and they go on to the finals.
Here's a question. Trey, I don't know if we're going to get tickets for Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, head back down to the Fortress, but if we do and the Hawks hit a big shot, will we be celebrating like Steve Ballmer? Will you be grabbing my thigh uncomfortably?
Squeezing legs. Oh, yeah, Skeets. I'm going high on the thigh at game 6 here. I mentioned on Twitter, I have one friend in my life who celebrates exactly like this.
What?
Like a hard squeeze on the leg. He's also the only guy I know who still in our late 30s loves to like tap you in the nuts. We had to put like a ridiculous guy. He's on Twitter. He has responded to my tweet. This man was in my wedding. We had to tell him back in college. We're like, man, stop squeezing our legs so hard. It really hurts and it catches us off guard because you're never expecting it. And then we had to put like a 20-year ban, 20-year friendship ban on nut shots, you know?
Yeah.
This fella took down another fellow outside of a restaurant once upon a time with a straight up nasty shot to the Hibberts. And we're like, all right, guys, we're 35 years old at this point. We can't be hitting each other in the nuts anymore. But that's the difference. None of us are multiple billionaires. Steve Ballmer never had to have that conversation. So he's able to keep celebrating like that. That is the difference.
Oh, my God. It's so weird.
You see, I think it's the rub when he goes downwards. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
I mean, even like you're talking about your buddy who does the old claw to the quadricep. You know, it kind of gets your reflexes and your knee and your leg going. You're like, you know, I get that. Been there, done that. You know, I had a baseball coach do that to me all the time. It's like, okay, you're a weirdo. But then the next level is the rub down.
Yeah.
That's the really strange part. He gets in his little squeeze. Okay, that's funny. But then there's the double rub. He goes squeeze, and then rub down for a little massage-y. I mean, that's the weird.
Well, I mean,
super weird part.
It is weird. This is like even weird for him, and that's saying something because anytime they show this man clapping or excited for his team, like that even looks weird. He claps weird to me. Like, so this was just next level. I've never seen this, Trey. I'm excited to see it down at the Fortress. I'll make sure I don't wear shorts that night.
That's next
very
level
dangerous.
For sure.
But that's an all-time gif right there, or weird billionaire moment at the very least, Lee.
I don't remember who it was on Twitter, but someone said Steve Ballmer committing multiple HR violations.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits happening there.
Because you see the guy with the hat kind of like grabs him on our screen.
He's
on the left.
Pushing his hand away.
Yeah, he's like, come on, Stevie, come on, get that, knock that off.
Oh, my God, it gets weirder every time I watch it.
But listen, I guess you don't become the 11th richest person in the world if you're normal. You've got to be a bit weird, and you know, this is a part of it. So
I want to try and make like seize the day should now be squeeze the thigh. That's like how we should start our days. Forget embrace the day, good morning sweet world. It's all squeeze the thigh task. That's what I want you to do today, all right? Make the most of it. Squeeze a couple thighs if you can. Any other things to add to the Suns win? We'll get to Paul George a little bit later in the show because I do have something I want to talk about with him. But the celebration, you said, the Billy Crystal. I mean, I thought the post-game celebration was mad weird. Like, Chris Paul was obviously super excited, but he was all over the place. His emotions were going ping, 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 ping. Little Wayne was there under the rope at one point, then suddenly back outside on the other side of the rope. And you said the Billy Crystal, I mean... any other favorite moments, giant hats, and just strange. They were pumped. They were very excited. Go ahead, Lee.
You know, we sort of always talk about it a little bit. Yesterday on the show too, you had an Alex Len Hawks jersey and a Rasheed Wallace jersey. I want to see someone just wearing the conference champions shirt when they didn't go on to win the championship. Like, I want to see a fan,
okay,
you know, wearing like one last year, for example, like Miami Heat, Eastern Conference champions. I want to see someone wearing that around because they simply exist for one day and that's it. You never see them ever, do you? Like, you never, ever see anybody go, man, we, whew, That what a great year. We almost won the championship. We,
I mean, I want to see these. I don't know, Devin Booker or Ayton or Bridges show up to game one of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And their tunnel fit exactly. is them wearing that shirt or hat. That would be crazy.
I get the celebrationary style. Like, yeah, you're going to the finals, but I just don't get the t-shirt still and the hat. It's like, this is irrelevant now, basically, because it's you're not going to celebrate it if you don't win the championship. If you win the championship, then who cares about the conference championship? Yeah. That's not what you're winning.
It's just for photos and, hey, let's give this what I still think is a very nice-looking trophy. I think it looks great.
Encrusted basketball,
But, it is weird. You make a great point, Lee, that the T-shirts are produced and they're handed out and everybody wants one. At the time, they do at the very least ask.
So I saw that video of Frank Kaminsky chugging a beer through a sunroof or something in a mini parade. That wasn't going back to Phoenix last night. That was an old video, right? Was that yesterday?
I thought it was last night.
Last night? Oh, I'm just confirming.
Oh, I assumed it was them arriving back to Phoenix. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then people waiting for them. He hit the sunroof.
Yeah.
I mean, they're celebrating. Like, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, they were really celebrating. It did feel like. But
those people are buying Western Conference Finals championships for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's fair. I mean, I saw a lot of Lakers fans like saying, oh, here, look at this clip of the times the Lakers won the Western Conference Finals. They don't even look at the trophy. They don't even touch it. They don't care. You know, job's not finished and all that. It's like, okay, yeah. I mean, it's a different circumstance. I believe they had just been to the finals. This one that was making its way around Twitter. Like they had been to the finals the year before. Obviously had lost and we're like, come on, we got to go get this done. It's a little different than a lot of these guys, especially Chris Paul, making it for the first time ever. I don't think you should go overboard celebrating a Western Conference Finals victory, but I'm not going to hold it against you if you're very excited, right, Trey? Especially for a team like Phoenix, who a lot of people, let's be honest, had not going this far.
Oh, I think they should celebrate it. It was awesome. Celebrate it for a night. You can watch Hawks versus Bucks and then start planning for the series. This was a major accomplishment for all these guys, going from out of the playoffs for a decade to going to the NBA Finals. And obviously, it's a lot of their first playoff appearances. You know, we see sometimes like a team will make the playoffs and have a successful, surprising season. And the fans will be going crazy for them even when they lose once they return home.
Yeah.
So I thought it was awesome to see them celebrating. And I thought it was hilarious that Frank Kaminsky had two viral moments last night. Despite not really getting to play basketball, he had the gentlest push of Patrick Beverley. I feel like that was two Illinois boys giving each other respect right there. And then obviously chugging the beer through the sunroof once they got back to Phoenix.
Yeah, I just didn't see... a little mini parade happening. I just didn't know that was a thing going back. But obviously they're expecting it, waiting for them to come back. And of course they should celebrate every stinking moment, every single second to have some frickin' fun. Nobody in the NBA Finals, whether it's the Bucks or the Hawks, when they meet the Suns, has won an NBA title. Not one single player, as John Hollinger pointed out. So frickin' live it up. Yeah, they've got a week to game plan. They can have a beer or two or three.
Game one of the NBA Finals starts a week from today, right?
Today,
July 8th.
Yep.
They're not moving it up at all, right? Like, I assume they're not. No.
They tend not to, but I think I said the other day that often that's because of the international media, I think.
Yeah.
But potentially, I guess. Oh, well, it's still actually...
No, there's media.
Two games.
Yeah.
Two more games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be over by the earliest
Saturday.
They won't move it up to Tuesday for that reason.
No.
But
Thursday night, game one of the NBA Finals, and we just wait to see who the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, are going to be playing as the favorites, like you said, very likely as the favorites, I would think, with game one in Phoenix in the NBA Finals. Wow, taking us back to 93 here. It's crazy.
The Suns' biggest health concern right now is Devin Booker's nose. This guy can't stop getting hit in the face.
Yeah.
Like, every half he gets hit in the face. And I don't know. I don't personally think of Devin Booker as, like, a face-forward player. Like, some guys have their heads way out in front of them when they're playing. But I don't know. It's like he got hit in the nose the one time, broke his nose all nasty, and now it just is going to keep happening.
Yeah.
So I would be a little worried of PJ Tucker if the Bucks make the finals. That guy's going nose for sure.
Ooh, yes.
You know, the Suns historically would maybe actually prefer to start on the road. They're 0-3, as in 93 in the finals on the road at home. Excuse me, 2-1 on the road.
Wow,
they won both games in Chicago, but lost all three in Phoenix. Man, crazy stuff.
Michael Jordan, man.
Yeah, Michael. I mean, that's got nothing to do with
that. No, just a cool fact. I mean, look, who knows if the Bucks ultimately get over the Hawks. The Hawks have tied this thing up. It's 2-2. But I would love to see Cash Considerations versus Torrey Craig in the NBA Finals. That would be a matchup I would have my eye on. My God. Do you think he could shut him down? Cash is pretty good on the perimeter defense. No, okay, nothing. I thought there was something.
Sorry, man. It's a no-sell for me. Torrey Craig is not going to be a final storyline for me. I know people are talking about it. That's fine. He played last night. He did a great job. Yeah. Good job to Torrey Craig. It will be fun for all the huge Torrey Craig fans out there. Yeah.
We're going to have to do 20 minutes on Torrey Craig, Trey Kirby. I'm sorry. We got a whole week.
Save it.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's true.
NBL legend, Torrey Craig.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to a little Is This News, but we got to take our first break. My God, Steve Ballmer would love to get his hands on those jean shorts, Lily, and that little ad read. No, that was a little funnier, was it? Good. Let's get to Is This News. Yeah, Is This News, some headlines for you guys. Like I said, I teased it. Let's talk Paul George a little bit more. CBS Sports. Clippers Paul George questions the narrative of me not being a postseason player. Yeah, you had a lot to say about this, Lily. So is this news? Paul George saying, come on, you know, stop it already. What do you think?
It's not really news, I suppose, because I think part of the reason why he has the reputation he has is because he talks so much in the media. It started, remember, in the OKC with, hey, you've never heard of playoff P before, you're about to see it, and then he had a bad series.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with Paul George. Reasonable, normal basketball fans know he is a superstar. He has had his moments in the playoffs where he hasn't been a superstar. That's also what happens to almost every playoff star at some point. I mean, you guys know Kyle Lowry up close from when the Raptors finally made the playoffs after all those years. Remember, he was garbage in those first 2 years when the Raptors got knocked out in the first round. Now, he's maybe the GOAT. So it just shows that over time that narrative can change. But if I'm Paul George, if I had to say anything to him, say, just don't worry about what you see on the internet and what people say. People just want to get their jokes off. And it's kind of like, because you joined the Thunder and then you went to the Clippers, people are like, okay, this guy's an easy target, and then he bites on a lot of that stuff as well. So, look, Paul George is a superstar in the league. He finished fourth or third in MVP voting just a couple of years ago. He came back from a devastating injury, which could have potentially ended his career. You know, it's never going to change. People are always going to sort of go from game to game. You have a good game, it's like, yeah, see, he's not a bust. You have a bad game, people are just going to keep on piling on you. That's just the way it goes on social media.
Yeah, that's true, but I will say, like, after last night's game, he didn't have a good game, Paul George, in a game six, and again, I think the excuse is fair. Guy seems tired as hell. He played massive minutes, but it felt like there were less people piling on Paul George last night. So maybe he has shook the narrative a little bit, Trey, where it's like, you know, he did a lot of it to himself. Like Lee said, I agree with that, but I didn't see a ton of like Paul George sucks. You know, like where was he in a must win game? And maybe that's because he had the awesome game five to extend the series. But I think it's diminished a little bit, and it should, because he was pretty damn awesome this postseason.
No doubt. This was Paul George's signature playoff run, especially once Kawhi Leonard went down. He saved the Clippers season a couple of different times and just wasn't able to do it for what? I don't know. I guess it would probably have been the fifth time if he did it last night against the Suns. Obviously, he didn't have a great game, but he did have a great game five. But like Lee said, he gave himself the nickname Playoff P, and then he got bounced from the playoffs by Joe Ingles. That's what happened the same year he was a top five MVP candidate. Say less. Look at what Kawhi Leonard does, man. That guy gets no criticism from anybody because he never says anything. And also, like, look at Chris Paul. We used to have a B-roll for the starters called Chris Paul Boners that we would run every single year when the playoffs came around. Until you get to the finals or like hit a playoff buzzer beating game winner, this is going to be the narrative. It's like Charles Barkley said, like Charles Barkley is the perfect guy to speak on this, really, as an all-time great who never won a championship. As a great player, you're going to get criticized until you do something special. Paul George has done a lot of things that are very, very good, very cool. He had a great playoff run, and I feel like he's got more people on his side now than he has in the past couple of seasons. But until he's got a ring on that finger, or at least an appearance in the finals, people are going to remember him being Playoff P.
What do you think, Tess?
These guys covered it. Nobody can really celebrate the accomplishments of a player. We're talking about Chris Paul. His nickname is the Point God. But all people could do for, several years is point out his misfortunes, how he did come up short in key moments. But he runs the show. He runs a team so well. He's had 16 years of showing why he's good. There's only 30 teams in the NBA. Most don't win it. Most don't even come close. But he's there now, and PG can just take that as an example. I mean, he had a great run this postseason. When you look at his numbers, so good to be going, 27 and 9.5 rebounds. Like, he was really, really working it. He had a great Western Conference Finals, although he didn't shoot it from three all that well. But yeah, he ran out of steam. I mean, if he had Kawhi beside him, it probably could have been different. Yeah, it's, people just need something to poke on. So when Paul George gave them the red meat of calling himself Playoff P and not performing, of course people are going to gobble it up. I mean, yesterday people were too interested or watching the Chris Paul show and watching the Phoenix Suns celebrate. So I think that's why Paul George didn't get the criticism. They had something else to focus on, and that's why. For a moment, people understand, like, Paul George is a great player. He's 31. I think Chris Paul is a good example that you can carry this into your mid-30s, even though, as Lee mentioned, this guy had that injury, 7 years ago, but he bounced back to have a phenomenal postseason. This was great, and he said this is one of the best locker rooms he's ever been in, and it showed. I mean, those guys worked together and played really, really well together, and Paul George showed how freaking good he is. Those numbers are great. Those numbers are phenomenal.
Yeah, I think the part of this, though, is he had good postseasons before this one. Mm. But because of the Playoff P nickname, because of calling it a bad shot when Lillard hit one in his face, because of the blown 3-1 lead hitting the side of the backboard, that got, everybody on him, and probably rightfully so a little bit, or the criticism, and it's like, come on, man, you're not that good as you pretend you are. But he averaged, like, what, 20? I think I'm sure he was over a 20-point-per-game scorer his entire postseason, probably much higher than that, I'm guessing, 23, 24 points per game over like 6 or 7 postseasons prior to this one where he went to another level. But he's been good.
Yeah,
but
and that was on the Pacers too, where, he took the heat off to 7 games. Yeah. And it was like, people love a sort of an underdog then, but then he did force his way to the Clippers. And it's like, well, if you're going to try to make a super team, that also...
Oh, and the Clippers sort of pretended they were already champions without winning anything that whole
year. Yeah, so those sort of things come into play. But yeah, he's been incredibly fun to watch. And again, considering they lose their best player, and they overcome a 2-0 deficit to the Jazz and win in 6, where he was incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should get more recognition than it will get, but that'll kind of be swept under the carpet because they didn't go all the way.
Yeah. Our next headline, ESPN, LeBron James, Olympic career likely over, according to Team USA's Jerry Colangelo. Trey, I ask you, as the American, is this news at all?
I think it's a little bit of news. It's kind of sad news, to be honest. I thought we would see LeBron in the Olympics one more time, but I guess if that's the case, it probably should have been 2016. LeBron had a kind of weird NBA or Olympic career, started way back when in 2004 when Team USA lost 3 times, finished bronze. To be honest, not enough LeBron and Melo on that team. It was Larry Brown rolling with the mid-2000s stars. It didn't work out, but then LeBron came back and played on 2 legendary Team USA teams, 2008, the Redeem Team, probably the most famous Olympic team since the Dream Team, and then 2012, which is probably the best team since the Dream Team. But like I said, probably should have played in 2016, but that was right after Game 7. Mm. That being said, I am not ruling it out that LeBron plays in the Olympics again, because Jerry Colangelo got a little spicy on this radio call. He said of LeBron, father time takes its toll. If you're a human being, your body is built to go so long, depending on what your sport is, and then it's a downhill situation. Is Jerry Colangelo trying to lure LeBron back by calling him washed? I don't know. LeBron right now is older than Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant, Jason Kidd during their last Olympic appearances. Those are kind of some old heads that got the legend card back in the day, but you're telling me a team's gonna say no to a 39 or 40-year-old LeBron James if he wants to play in the Olympics one more time? Have him play center. Pass the ball every time. That'd be cool.
Yeah, this is maybe not newsworthy because, like Trey said, he didn't play in 16. I always sort of forget that. Yeah. You think he played in Brazil, but he didn't. Because if he had, that would have been his fourth Olympics, which would have tied him with Melo. And then if he went on to play on this one, which he obviously could be on the team if he wanted to, that would have been the record-breaking fifth. But Melo holds on to the four Olympic appearances. But Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, well, he would have played, I think, if the Olympics went ahead as scheduled last year.
Interesting,
that, yeah. I know that he said he wanted to play for Popovich, who was supposed to be coaching the team. But obviously, things changed there, and he didn't play. So, yeah, LeBron has done so much for this game. He's played in World Cups as well. So he has done his part representing the USA, going out there, winning a couple of gold medals. And I don't hold it against him now because, he's coming off the biggest injury of his career, and he probably knows, you know, that he doesn't have, you know, just a infinity left in the NBA. He wants to be as healthy as he can to try to get a couple more championships. So maybe he's like, you know what, I've done my time for the national team. Now I'm just going to try to focus a little bit more on only on the Lakers. So I think he's great. I saw him in Athens. He was great. He was a star. He was only out of his first season in the NBA, and it was like he was a big deal back then in the international community. So, here we are like 17 years later, and he's, still – I mean, he could walk into the team if he changes his mind too. So,
Hey, Kevin Love, get out of here. It's LeBron's spot. Hey, Jeremy Grant, get the hell out of here. It's LeBron's spot.
I like this suggestion from Greg in the stream team who says LeBron should play in the 3-on-3 tournament in the next Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, with his son.
Wow. Yeah. With two of his sons.
Yeah,
we just send the James gang to go win the gold medal. I love it.
Oh, man. Or somehow, I don't know how he would do it, but like that classic LeBron commercial where he's playing like an old man. He's playing like a kid. He's
business himself. LeBron.
Yeah, business LeBron. Somehow just send a bunch of LeBrons. Tass, anything to add to this? Is it newsworthy at all to you?
I guess the other thing that Jerry Colangelo said was LeBron made choices these last couple of Olympics not to participate because he's got a lot of other things going on in his life.
Movies.
He's busy, but I think his time is over. And LeBron would say to that, yeah, I did have other stuff going on in my life. I know we look at basketball players and think they should be playing basketball every second of their life. But LeBron, good for him. Good for him to do other stuff and to bounce back from that bronze medal that he got in 2004. I always forget going back to Athens when, the U.S. was embarrassed by Lithuania a couple times, or the first time, I should say. Then they lost to Argentina, but then they got Lithuania back in that bronze medal game. A little bit of redemption there in the end, which wasn't redemption at all. A bronze medal for most people is a heck of an accomplishment, but for LeBron, Iverson, Tim Duncan, and Melo, nope. That was a terrible tournament for them.
I am looking forward to whatever talking head's going to run with the craziest hot take of LeBron is putting the Looney Tunes championship over the American team, over playing with pride for his country. He cares more about Bugs Bunny task than he does about getting another gold medal. It's coming. You just wait. I can't wait. Final headline here.
You just gave somebody the carrot, man.
Yeah. What's up, Doc? Final one. CBC. Oh, yeah. Let's go up to CBC for Canada Day here. Canada clinches Group A semifinal berth with a commanding win over China. That's who they played last night. Just to point out, I mean, they dominated them as they should. They're in the driver's seat here, Tass. They went 2-0 in Group A. That's it. We are now into the knockout phase of this little mini tournament. You got to win it to go to Tokyo. So they're going to play the second place team from Group B in a sudden death semifinal on Saturday afternoon. Now, it's likely going to be the Czech Republic or Turkey. Those are both, really solid teams. But you win that, and then you go into a one-game showdown on Sunday to try and get to Tokyo. But good stuff here. I saw Grange pointed out. Canada's getting some rest here just because of the schedule. So, you get this day off before the semifinal game. They're healthy at the moment. It feels like Nick Nurse has definitely sort of figured out his rotation just quickly here through the first couple of games. It's start Corey Joseph, start Barrett, Wiggins, Trey Lyles, and Powell, who's been great. I saw you tweeting about him last night, Tass. And then the bench is really Alexander Walker, Dort, of course, and Andrew Nicholson. And there is a name that some of you may have forgotten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish we had a photo of Andrew Nicholson. That guy looks so old. It's amazing.
He's not an old man.
Yeah, he is.
He's like a top 11 pick or something like that. Wait,
was he drafted by the Magic?
I think he went Magic. Orlando, Washington, and
I think he played the last 4 years in, I want to say in China. It was definitely overseas, but he can score. He's a weird player, but he can shoot, especially in the international game. It's a little closer line. So anyway, that's the lineup, and it's set up here for them to do this, to actually pull this off and try and get to the Olympics for the first time since the Steve Nash days back in 2000. So I'm excited. I'm going to be sweating these games this weekend, though. I am. I mean, I just want them in the Olympics to then cheer them on there. Not that they would medal or anything, but they should get there.
Yeah.
They should. They're the favorite. They should. It's cool seeing Andrew Wiggins perform to expectations. I mean, he is the best player on the floor. He should be dominating. And, you know, he's not shooting a ton. He's playing within the team game. But, to be executing is cool. FIBA Wiggins is real. He had a 20-point night against China. And, yeah, again, you know, he didn't shoot a ton, but he's efficient. He's doing his thing. He's Golden State Wiggins out there, just playing his role. He needs other scorers to make it happen, like old Andrew Nicholson. Man. I love saying that name. He doesn't have the athleticism to play in the NBA. No. He doesn't really have a 3-point shot. He's got a bit of an old man bod out there, but in the FIBA game, he kicks ass. Man, because you don't need as much as athleticism. And it's. You know, a little bit of love and honor for the big booty guys out there. When you see Andrew Nicholson out there shaking that thing, man, he's great out there. Yeah, old Chris Paul, the 36-year-old, doing it in the NBA, and then Andrew Nicholson with that butt making things happen against China. They kicked ass.
It's Andrew Nicholson for everybody on the.
He looks slender there.
He does actually. You're right. All right. I'm just like looking up his what is his actual age? We keep calling him old, but he's 31. Okay, he's actually older than I even thought. But he looks, I think, a lot closer to 41. He just has that look in his face. But I am pumped for this. And this is big. Honestly, I'm being serious here. Like, this would be big for Canada basketball because they need the team in the Olympics to drum up more support from casuals. Yeah, the sickos are into it. Yeah, they're cheering them on. And it's amazing we got a lot of these NBA players committing, but we want more eventually. And to do that, it'd be good if you make the Olympics. Just being there, that's something. So I hope to God they win these two games. And they're not a lock because these are good teams. Anything can happen in a one-game situation. You know, you can just – Andrew Wiggins can just go 2-for-15 or RJ Barrett, same thing, all these guys. So it's not a given, but – they do have a bunch of guys contributing right now, and the rotation seems sort of set there. And they move the ball, 30 assists on 43 field goals in that game against China, so that's good. So we'll see. Go Canada this weekend. We got to have Team Canada versus Team USA at the very least in an Olympic game. I mean, just so we can set the line, how badly would they I don't even know what we would set that line at, Trey. It's got to be like 25, 30 probably.
69 points.
Oh, my God. I'll take that. I'll take Team Canada to cover that. Anyway, we'll see. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Last time I had Tweet of the Night, terrible night on Twitter. Made up for it last night, though. Great night on Twitter. So you got two tweets of the night. Our first one, not great to talk about, but it is must-see tweeting. Comes to us from the LA Clippers. Vin Diesel in the building for Game 6. Throw it
YouTube
up the farm symbol. Family, this is a little bit like a sequel to Vin's appearance at the 2012 Olympics where he threw up a thumbs up when they showed him in the crowd going with the heart now. Everybody knows Vin Diesel loves sequels. So here's another sequel, our second tweet of the night. Big one. The NCAA is now allowing all student athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness, which is huge news, and also garnered a very funny tweet from basketball podcaster J.J. Redick, who tweeted from 2004 to 2006, I would have made a bag on name, image, and licensing endorsements. Sadly, I would have blown it all on Natty Light and Lacoste polos. With the collars popped, of course, J.J. Redick, a massive star in his days at Duke back in the day, he would have made a bag. My question to you guys, if you got a J.J. Redick-sized bag back in 2004 to 2006, when you were attending college or university, whatever you call it, what would you have blown your bag on? For me, it comes down to three things. T-shirts from the thrift store, I'll always remember my friend Pat Murphy having one that said, "Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40 when he was only like 18 years old. Probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. Number two, Abercrombie and Fitch track jackets. I don't know why. Track jackets like 2001 to 2005, the Redick era, man. Track jackets were killing. I got one on today, for the lads. But most of all, I would have spent most of my money. Did you guys have Express? Did you have, like, the store Express? It was Structure prior to that. They're big.
I just saw it when John Collins was there. John Collins was being endorsed by Express recently.
Oh, that's what that. I knew.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. It's kind of like a store for young professionals, like people who want to buy their first, like their first shirt with a stripe on it or something like that.
It's like Zara or something.
Exactly. Back in school, we called them money shirts. Like if you were going out, you had to look money. You put on your money shirt. You got a collar. You got some big old buttons. Maybe if you flip up the cuffs, they're a different color. Would have went crazy at Express buying money shirts.
That's good. We would just, I guess, 04 to 06, we had just finished university. But Taz, correct me if I'm wrong, that would have been around the sweet spot that we had. We were sharing Raptors season tickets somewhere in that window. Or was that a little bit, was that in school? Anyway, point is, I think we would have upgraded. We were up in the nosebleeds. So if possible, if we had some more money.
You upgraded right away.
I did upgrade with Grish, didn't
you? You joined for 1 year and you said 300 level. I'm
get
that
out
heck
of here,
out
man.
Of
here. Too high for me. I'm getting nosebleeds up here in the Sprite section. This is basically the Sprite section. I hate Sprite.
You get that kind of money.
Yeah. If we had that money, courtside seats at a Raptors game, watch them lose all those games. Oh, it'd be great. Just to see it up close and personal, grab some thighs when Bargnani turns it over. Hell yeah.
Oh, dog, if you show up in a money shirt, come on. Get this guy courtside right now. Look how big those buttons are.
Yeah, money shirts were big. You're right. I would have upgraded my glasses. Shirts. I was looking at photos of me. I had glasses back in that time, and geez, they were the worst. I don't know. I don't know how people let me wear them. It was like, these were not cool. They were bad, even for 04, 05. But Lee, you have an answer for this? You're out of school too, but what would you?
Yeah, well, when I first came out of school, I would have put all of that money into a car just to, I had personalized license plates.
Oh, God.
I bought these sheepskin car seat covers.
Wow, I didn't take you for a car guy like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I remember, sort of having a push and pull there with my dad. He's like, don't put money into your car. Like, it needs to run, it needs to be safe, but don't waste your money on it. No, Dad. I put a CD player in there. I bought that off a friend. I got someone to install it for me. Put all this ridiculous money into my car. Well, because I wanted to have a cool car.
What was it?
It would be a Chevy. It would be a Chevrolet, the equivalent over here. That's General Motors, isn't it, over here, I think? Because it was called a Holden Commodore in Australia.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the cool car. I mean, it was like 12 or 13 years old when I first got it, but it was like I tried to make it, sexy, but you could only do so much. And I remember I bought these ugly, ugly blue car seat covers one time. I just thought, yeah, they're cool. Oh, they weren't.
No.
Like to cover your seats, do you?
Yeah.
Change up the interior.
Going on in that car.
I like to, yes. But that because I remember as well when I just started working and I was earning like, I don't know, 15 grand a year or something like that, my first job. I wanted to buy a car for $20,000 and Dad was just like, what?
You had older brothers too. Didn't you get any like pass me down cars and stuff like that?
Well, that's it. My first car was my older brother's first car. Yeah. I had to buy that off him for about 3 grand. But I put my own personalized plates on that before the purchase had gone through. So
got the plates first, huh?
that I think is a VP Commodore from around 1990. Yeah. Okay. Mine was actually a VH, VH Commodore, red one. It was a cool color.
Yeah, a red one. Okay.
Yeah. But
you just reminded me when you said you installed a CD player. Do you remember there was a time when people were putting in like the 5-disc, the 10-disc CD player in the trunk of their car? Oh, what a crazy concept when you think about it.
Yeah.
But that was the thing.
The first CD I bought to play was Gangster's Paradise, Coolio. The single of it.
Wow, you had the instrumental, did you?
Yeah. There it is. So that's also, I think, a VN.
Jesus, JD, don't you know anything about cars? Yeah.
You know, I've got a photo of me with my car there with the license plate somewhere, but it's probably a bit too hard to do.
I bet you had nicer wheels and hubcaps than that. Those are ugly. Yeah. You know, put some spinners on that. That thing is ugly.
Yeah, this is just funny, getting me pumped for Fast and Furious podcast. No, talking cars.
Yeah, a lot of Holden Commodores and Fast and Furious.
Yeah, well, were you the only person in Australia, Lee, to have a six-disc changer that had only singles playing in it? songs.
My mate around the corner had the 10-disc, but it wasn't a stacker, though. I'm pretty sure it was a flat thing.
Those were definitely.
So it took up his whole trunk. Yeah. You know, but it was still cool because, like, man, he's got 10. Whoa. He had a phone in his car as well. A phone. But he could never use it because it was like $8 for like a 10 seconds on the call. But yeah.
Car talk. Oh, my goodness. Do it all day here. Okay, just quickly here as we wrap this up, what's something you're watching for in game 5 tonight? Because we do have a game on again here. Hawks versus the Bucks. No Giannis. That's official. Trae Young, I think, is still up in the air whether or not he is a go for game 5. But Trey, what are you watching?
Yeah, Trae Young was a super late scratch for game 4, like an hour beforehand, right? Nate McMillan walked up to Lou Williams and said, "You're starting." Lou said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. And then just went out and played an incredible playoff game in his very first start. That's why, to me, tonight, assuming we got no Giannis, great news to hear that no structural damage for him, but obviously he's still hurt. If we're guessing Trae Young doesn't play, the key to me then is going to be Jrue Holiday. The guy's a great two-way player, but it feels like in this series so far, he hasn't put together the two ways in the same game. Like, he's had a great offensive game, but then Trae Young goes for 40-something. Or he's locking Trae Young down on defense, but bricking away on offense. So far, Jrue Holiday has been under 40% in half of his playoff games so far. He needs to be the best guard on the court if the Bucks are going to win. That means he's got to lock down Lou Williams a little bit, assuming he gets the start for Trae Young. And he's got to punish Lou on the offensive end a little bit as well. So I think a big game for Jrue Holiday can give the Bucks a win.
Tass, anything to add to this? Game 5 tonight there in Milwaukee?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Giannis does play. I know he's doubtful right now. That's the latest listing that I'm seeing. But, I mean, he is so freaking tough, and I'm sure he wants to play really badly. Do they keep him out till game 6? I think that's, you know, it's obviously a possibility because I think the Bucks bounce back just with the way they played. Mm-hmm. Because the first half against the Hawks, they didn't go to the hoop at all. They averaged 17 restricted area shots per half throughout the postseason. They only had 7 in the first half of game 4. They just weren't right. And I know Giannis is a big part of that. So we probably see a lot of Brook if Giannis isn't around, just to try and balance, you know, the inside and the outside game with Jrue and Chris Middleton, who should have a bounce back game. But the Hawks have a fight tonight, no matter what, even though it's, you know, unlikely Giannis plays, but I'm sure he's going to do absolutely everything in his power to play.
Lee, you're in New York. Where are you going to be watching this game? Just there in the apartment? You're going to go out to a bar? Oh, boy, we found the photo.
There's the photo, and you can see the personalized license plate there on the at the
No,
front.
Sir, I'm not interested in these knives you're selling. Get out of here.
You got a cricket bat?
That's a cricket bat.
So that cricket bat, right, so I bought this cricket bat in England when I was on a trip, and I came back. And I play with it, and you've got to knock it in. I don't know if you do that with baseball bats, but you've got to sort of break it in, you know, wear it in. And I didn't do a good job of that, and it all cracked. And so I sent it to Slazenger in Australia, and they sent me back that bat, which was personally signed by my favorite cricketer, Mark Waugh, at the time. So you can sort of see it's still in the plastic. I never took it out of that for
a while.
You know
what we've learned about you as a young lad in Australia? You did a lot of fucking mailing. You mailed so much shit. I swear to God, every second story is you mailing something to somebody and getting it back somehow.
Yeah, well, kids will never know that these days, you know?
I know.
You never know what it's like when you post something like to America, to a team like the Knicks or whoever, and you have to wait like 3 months and you get that response. And it's like, yes, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, FedEx everything, email it, whatever, and you get it in a day. It's just not the same. Right. There's no romance anymore in the mail system.
Right. Was that photo taken on the set of the Beastie Boys Sabotage video? This man looking like Michael Diamond out here.
You got better hubcaps, you're right.
Can't stand it! My cricket bat is broken!
You know what? I don't know if you can... We can't really zoom in, but I think you can see the ugly blue car seat covers.
Okay, it's okay. I think we can imagine them. Yeah. What were you going to say, JD?
Yeah, you look like the meanest Mormon ever.
Yeah.
I think he even looks like you got a name tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's I'm on my way to work at McDonald's.
Oh, Becca's.
Yeah.
Elder so badass.
Wow. Oh, what a way.
With that.
What a way. Anyway, I did ask, where are you watching the game tonight there in New York State?
Oh, I'll be watching it here. Okay. But yeah, look, the Bucks have gone from like, you know, this being a potential end the series game to now like must win for them, really. Because they don't want to have to come back to Atlanta and have to win that game. So it's going to be huge. So I don't think Giannis plays. I think because it's not necessarily series ending tonight, they may just say, listen, let's give him a couple of days rest because if we lose, we definitely need him in game six. So some big questions now for the Bucks, whether or not, you know, Middleton and Holiday, as you guys mentioned there, can those guys step up and carry this team? Because they need this win badly tonight, I think, Milwaukee.
Pivotal game five, some would say.
Pivotal.
We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Drop Podcast. Tomorrow is Friday, is that right? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's been a... I'm struggling more than ever with what day it is. Just day of the week. But yes, tomorrow is Friday. We'll have the Drop Podcast. We'll be talking about game five between the Hawks and the Bucks and whatever else we get into. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic. Marcus Thompson had an awesome article yesterday on Rick Welts, the Hall of Famer. Highly recommend it. So get an Athletic subscription so you can read it. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. Go to nodunks.com, especially if you're a Suns fan. Congratulations again on your first finals berth since 93. There it is, the No Dunks mashup tee there with the Valley Boys. Rally the Valley. Grab one of those and then buy it. But, you know, buy it, get it, take a photo and tag us on Instagram or Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, days of the week, days of the week, days of the week, days of the week, days of the week. There's Monday and there's Tuesday. There's Wednesday and there's Thursday. There's Friday and there's other days. Embrace the week. Yeah.
Squeeze the thighs, people.